Jesus wanted them to understand that it's not an easy thing to sit on the right or the left. They would have to pass a test just like you and I have to pass a test. And those tests come in trials and temptations, read James. Then I need to understand that I have to die to myself as Jesus died. That's real Christianity.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Roel Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Roel came to Christ over 45 years ago, and he spent the past four decades following his Savior in service to others. For Roel's testimony of how Jesus' love transformed his heart and gave him new life, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com, or for a free DVD, call 800-634-9165. Well, on this Tuesday edition of Somebody Loves You Radio, we'll continue our series in Mark's Gospel. As we join Roel in studying Christ's response to the disciples' worldly ambitions, we'll be challenged to honestly evaluate the state of our own hearts before God. We'll also see that as believers, true greatness comes from taking up our cross and dying to ourselves in service to the Lord. Let's join Roel Reese now for the message, True Greatness. If you have your Bible, we invite you to join us now in Mark chapter 10, verse 35.
Jesus has been ministering, he's been healing, he's been sharing, he's been loving, and he's been carrying. And now he's on his way to Jerusalem. In the back of his mind, he knows, I'm going to Jerusalem and I'm going to be betrayed and I'm going to be dying for the sins of the world. And Jesus, it must have been hard for him on his way to Jerusalem, knowing that he was going to die for the sins of the world. And this also would be the place of resurrection, where he would rise from the dead. And here comes John and James, brothers, with their mother, according to Matthew, to make a petition before Jesus. They wanted greatness, they wanted recognition, and they wanted fame. Three things. They wanted recognition, greatness, and fame. People are always desiring these things. Promotion. He says, I think we need not only to be careful what we're asking for, but unless you have listened to God's voice, unless you have prayed for the will of God, you shouldn't ask for anything, seriously. And then you say, well, how does God speak to you? Well, God speaks to me through the Word of God. As I read and as I wait and as I pray. And I think for all of us, we need to learn that. Because a lot of times we're expecting the angel to appear, or you want to see lightning or something like that. But listen to this. Sometimes people too, did you know that? You've been looking for an answer and somebody comes up to you and they start talking to you. It's like the Lord is saying, I'm talking to you. But are you listening? In the Gospel of Matthew chapter 20, verse 20, he says, and then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her sons, James and John, kneeling down and asking something from him. You see, Mark doesn't speak about the mother. And then he said to her, what do you want? And she said, grant that these two my sons of mine may sit, one on your right hand, the other on your left, in your kingdom. Speaking of the kingdom, what? The 1,000-year reign. They thought in their minds that Jesus would die and rise again, and the kingdom would immediately start. They had a total concept that was really not what Christ had. So when he died and rose again, they were shocked. Because then the Lord tells them, remember when he rises from the dead, and there in the Mount of Olives, he says, you guys, go back to Jerusalem, sit there, and then wait on what's going to happen. And what happened? The Holy Spirit came and baptized 120, including the mother of Jesus, and gave them power. And then Peter stood up and said, what happened now? Because there were 30 nations there. He says, what you see, what you hear, this is what happened. God promised the Holy Spirit. And he began to share. The Holy Spirit has been given to us already. But here, James and John, they're looking for greatness when they should be what? Being the servant of all. And how many times people want recognition? Think about that. We want people to know who we are. We should really be concerned about knowing who Jesus is instead of us. Not promoting Jesus, but that Jesus would be seen through my life so people can believe. And this is why in this story, we don't see the mother of James and John. But James and John believe that they, listen, that they had a personal advantage over the other 10. Why? Their mother was friends with who? With mother of Jesus. And these guys were brothers. And then he says this, that James, not only John, with his mother came up to make that request. But the other 10 became upset. You know why? They had the same concept. Man, they beat us to the punch. Man, we should have gone along with them, but they went ahead and they wanted greatness when we desire also to be great in the kingdom of God. Jesus made the decision to do what? To go to the cross according to the will of the Father. Son, I'm going to send you. You're going to be rejected. You're going to die. You're going to rise again. Notice what he said. And then they're not going to believe in you. They're going to reject you. But Jesus made the decision to go to the cross according to the Father's will so that he could come and he could forgive you and forgive me of our sins. He knew the condition of the world. He knew it. Now let's look at verse 35 through 37, the first point here. Their request, you have a place of greatness. He starts in verse 35. And then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus saying, "Teacher, we want you to do us a favor that we ask you." You see here the deceitfulness of the wrong ambition in their lives or in our lives? We noticed that they wanted a favor that it would benefit only them, not the others. They make a secret approach with Jesus. They make an unlimited appeal. And it wasn't just John and James ambitious for position, but also the other 10 waiting for Jesus not only to come to them. So they said, "Teacher, we want you to do us a favor, what we ask you." We see also that they are blinded by the lust for honor, position, power, wealth, and recognition. Again, honor, position, power, wealth, and recognition. He comes back by asking, "What do you want?" He gives us the prayer. How many times the Lord gives us an opportunity to say, "What do you want?" He gives us that opportunity. Now, we have to think about what we want because he can either receive it or you can reject it. Many times when we're asking and we keep asking and asking and asking, the Lord says, "Okay, I've heard you enough. I'm going to give it to you, but I want you to know one is going to become a thorn in your side." "Oh, Lord, take it away." No, you're going to learn your lesson. I mean, God knows what he's doing in our lives. We need to understand that he's in control of my life. He's in control of your life. And then he said to them, "What do you want me to do to you?" Listen, the Lord desired to bring what? To the surface, what were their thoughts? Just like you and I, what are our thoughts? You ever sit there just with your thoughts and you're thinking all this evil? And then there are times also that your mind begins to quote scripture within your heart. And you look at things the way God sees things. But most of the time, the Bible says that our heart is deceitful. We mean good, but our heart is so deceptive. How many times we hurt people? And I think that we need to be careful, just like the disciples here, making that appeal that's going to mark them with the other 10 because of what they ask for position. Their request reflects the common practice of ancient rulers to elevate their highest ranking, most intimate family members, and associate to the place of honor. You know, there's some families that they think they have first place. Don't think of yourself. Think of other people. Their needs instead of your needs. And see what happens in your life. Because he says this, they said to him, "Grant us that we may sit one on your right, one on your left." Notice, "in your glory." In his glory, they wanted ambitious. "Lord, not just now, but when you come again, we want to be right there sitting with you." And then ambition is good or bad. Feeling special. Feeling special, you have to be careful. Although one is favorite of God, if you're in the favorite of God, common sin and pride brings it down. to that place where people can see you have a chip in your shoulder, we say. You walk around with your nose up. And people know that's pride. Or you're too good for other people. We should be servants of all. Not walk in some place where we think we're better than anybody else. Even if you have money, who cares? It's your service to the Lord and it's your heart to the Lord and to people. What God wants you to be. In Acts 10:34 it says, and then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, not respect of persons. In Proverbs 16:18 it says, pride goes before destruction and a hearty spirit before a fall. The Proverbs have a lot to say about haughtiness. And yet the other disciples were mad because they heard the same, but they also wanted the same petition. The other two beat them to go to Jesus. Watch secondly, verse 38 and 39, their refusal to their petition. Verse 38, but Jesus said to them, you don't even know what you're asking. Why do you ask? Man, you don't even know what you're asking. Are you sure you want to ask for this? He says, because I'm going to tell you this. If you're asking, you think you're, are you ready to die with me on the cross? If he would have said that at this particular moment, they would have been flipping out. Because they didn't know what he was talking about yet. Going to Jerusalem. But Jesus said to them, you do not know what you're asking. Are you able to drink of the cup that I drink? Notice that, the cup that I drink. He's speaking about his death. He's speaking about the judgment of sin. And to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. They said to him, we are Lord. Man, before you speak, you better think. And this is the disciples. He says, you guys, I want you to concentrate on this. Are you willing to die with me? And they said, oh, we sure are, Lord. And so Jesus said to them, you will indeed drink the cup that I drink. With the baptism that I am baptized with, you will be baptized. What was that? Being killed. Dying, not on the cross. Peter was crucified upside down. He says, but every one of you will pay with your own lives except for John the Beloved. He will die in the island of Patmos. And I mean, Jesus here is revealing to them exactly what's going to happen. Jesus told them they did not realize that this involved not only an ambitious request, but the request would bring them to their knees. Because Jesus is warning them. A great price to pay for ambition. You do not know what you're asking. Jesus did not hold back with the two. You guys, your mom came to me. It doesn't really matter. You don't know what you're asking. You know, it's asking for a place again of honor when they should be asking, Lord, we know that we're going to Jerusalem. What's happened in Jerusalem? Can we be of any assistance to you? But they didn't even think like that. In Jesus, you see him, and he's just like normal, but deep inside, he knows that he's going to be hated. Because he's God. He knew already. They're going to spit on his face. They're going to beat him. 39 stripes. Then they're going to give him the cross to carry it. But before that, he'll be in the Garden of Gethsemane on his knees, on his face, asking the Father, not my will, but your will be done. That's the way we should be praying. Not my will, but your will be done. It's a great challenge as believers, what God has given to us. I mean, what can God do for me that he hasn't done already? The loyalty of God was evident here. He says, but to sit on my right hand, on my left, not mine to give. You guys, don't you get it? It is not me to give to you, but it is for those who it already prepared. Notice that. Already God had dealt. Already the deal was made. Who was going to sit on the right and on the left? And Jesus wanted them to understand that it's not an easy thing to sit on the right or the left. They would have to pass a test just like you and I have to pass a test. And those tests come in trials and temptations. Read James. James says that. Many trials and temptations. Because God wants us to be in that situation. He wants us to understand that if God's going to hear my prayers, then I need to understand that I have to die to myself as Jesus died on the cross for each one of us individually. spending time on his face in the Garden of Gethsemane, and then allowing himself to go to Jerusalem to be arrested and to be persecuted and beaten and then ride the cross. That's real Christianity. Matthew 16:24 says it really clearly. And then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. The word deny means to forget about yourself. Take up his cross, the instrument of what? Death. And follow me. Once you die, follow me. Because you're going to have the right attitude, the right heart. Jesus, there in chapter 16 of Matthew, if you go up in the upper passages, Jesus had been in Caesarea Philippi, and Jesus said to the guys, who do men say that I am? Great question. Well, some say Elijah, some say one of the prophets, but who do you say that I am? That's not just to all 12, that's to us too. Who do you say that I am? And Peter said, you are the Son of God. You are the Son of God. And he said, Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. You've had a supernatural revelation. You want to see how human he is? After this, turn the page and go to chapter 17. And they go up to Mount Hermon. And there Jesus, notice, he's transformed into his second coming, white as snow. And Moses and Elijah appeared. And Peter, after that, says, Lord, let us build three tabernacles here. One for Elijah, one for Moses, and one for you. Peter gets right in the flesh after having a supernatural revelation. And coming down the mountain, you know who's coming down the mountain? The devil. Satan meets him at the bottom of the Mount Hermon. Satan's always there when you come down. Remember that. Always there. He doesn't want you to keep high. He wants to bring you low. He wants to discourage you. He wants to beat you. But Jesus always not only is there for each one of us individually, but like James and John, he says in Acts 12:2, and then they killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. They killed him eventually. But Stephen, remember, was not an apostle. Stephen was stoned to death. And while he was being stoned to death, he got on his knees and he looked up to heaven, and the heavens were open. And Jesus was standing. The only time Jesus stands, and the second time will be when he comes. Standing for Stephen, imagine that, to receive him into heaven. Great, great honor. Because he never promoted himself, he gave the gospel of Jesus Christ without any doubts in his life. Then he says in verse 41 to 45, thirdly, the review, the qualification of a great. Now listen real carefully here. These are the qualifications. Verse 41. And when the ten heard it, they began to be greatly displeased with James and John. Notice their hearts displeased when they had the same motive. We see not only the petition of conflict here between the disciples, but also we see the wickedness of their hearts. The heart is deceitful. Bob, all things desperately wicked. Who could know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give to every man according to his ways. Plural. According to his ways. According to his fruit and his doings. Now, verse 42. And Jesus called unto himself and said this to them. You know that those who are considered rulers are over the Gentiles and lorded over them. And their great ones exercise authority over them. So here when he's talking about the rules of Gentiles, remember, Rome was ruling over Israel. They were the Gentiles. So he says to himself, he says, you know that those who are considered rulers, the ones in power over the Gentiles, lord it over them. Imagine how many people today lord it over your life, or you lord over people's lives. When you shouldn't be lording over people, you think yourself better than others. When you should be serving others instead of them serving you. This is something that within the church, within each one of us today here, that we kind of miss most of the time, that God wants us not only to serve him, but to serve others around us, because that's Christianity. That's real love. That's true greatness. He was speaking not only of the exalted position, but rulers here were still what? Ambitious. Rulers are ambitious. Atrotic, self-promoters, confident, arrogant, prideful, domineering. Those are the type of people. Domineering. Domineer over people, arrogant and prideful over people. And then we see the Lord's vision of ambition. Hey, if you want to be great, become nothing. Become the servant of all. Serve in humility. Verse 43. Yet it shall not be so among you. Underline that. Among you. Not just you. Among all of us here. But whoever desires to become great among you. Notice, you shall be what? You shall be your servant. Doulos. One who voluntarily renders usefulness and service to other people. That's what it means. Giving service to other people, not to yourself. Not thinking you're better than anybody else. He says again, verse 43, he desired to become great among you, you shall be your servant, and whosoever, not whoever of you desires to be first, shall be what? The slave of everybody. True ambition of greatness is what? Not exercising lordship or authority over people. True ambition is not self-centered and selfish, not worldly-minded. Thirdly, true greatness seeks minister, not to be ministered to. Fourthly, true greatness becomes the servant of everybody. Luke 22:26 says, but not so among you. On the contrary, he who is great among you, let him be as a younger, and he who governs as he who serves.
You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. Now, if you'd like to review today's message, we'll be glad to send you an unedited copy for a donation of any amount. To get that, call 800-634-9165. And when you contact us, ask for the message titled, True Greatness. Well, we pray you've been encouraged to follow in Jesus' footsteps as a devoted servant of the Lord. And to further equip you in your journey with Christ, we'd like to offer you Raul's new book titled, Victory. As Raul brings his Vietnam War experiences into the realm of spiritual warfare, he'll show you how to recognize and resist your enemy. You'll see that everyone who chooses a life of servanthood can expect to come under spiritual attack from Satan, but you can overcome through the power of God's Word and the leading of His Spirit. No matter how long you've walked with the Lord, this resource will empower you with biblical encouragement and guidance. Contact us to purchase Raul's new book, Victory. We'll send your copy for a gift of just $13.95 plus shipping and handling. To order, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165. Once again, that's 800-634-9165. If you'd like to order the resource by sending a check, our mailing address is Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. For additional refreshment from God's Word, we invite you to subscribe to Raul's free devotional emails. Signing up is simple. Just go to SomebodyLovesYou.com and click on Daily Devotional. And Raul's teaching is also available on podcast. We've made all of the Somebody Loves You radio programs easy to download via iTunes and Google Play. And you can stream Raul's teaching on all Alexa-powered devices. Donate now, and your contribution will help keep Raul's Bible-based broadcasts on the air. Somebody Loves You Radio is funded solely through the generosity of partners like you, and every gift you give is tax-deductible. Well, our goal at Somebody Loves You Radio is to equip and spur you on in a fruitful life of service for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we welcome your feedback on how these programs have enriched your spiritual growth. And when you contact us, let us know how we can pray for you as well. Coming up on the next broadcast, Raul Reese will continue our study of Mark's Gospel by exploring the healing of a blind man. We'll be encouraged to daily sit at Jesus' feet with genuine expectation and a heart of worship. Here's Raul now to wrap up today's message.
Verse 45. For even the Son of Man, speaking of who? Jesus, did not come to be served. Remember in John 13 when Jesus went into the building before he died? They go inside and usually they have a guy in the house with a stool washing feet. So he comes in, they have a low table, sit on pillows, reclining. And all of a sudden they're sitting there And Jesus, they see Jesus at the side, putting out a towel around his waist and grabbing a basin of water. And he's going around, and now he comes up to the table. He says, okay, give me your feet. I'm going to wash your feet. He starts going around washing feet. He comes to Peter, and Peter says, Lord, you'll never wash my feet. And the Lord says, well, you don't have a part in the kingdom with me, Peter. And he says, Lord, give me a whole shower. But what was he doing? He was demonstrating himself as a servant. Nobody thought of going to the table washing somebody else's feet. But he did. That's why he's God. And that's why he gave us the example for each one of us to wash feet. Serving Jesus Christ, serving people. That God keeps a record. God gives the rewards. All I have to do is be in submission and be obedient to do what God's word says. And then the kingdom of God will be not only mine in the future, but at the present time.
I am falling in love with you.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.